Let's please turn to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. We did a background of the book of Habakkuk last week. For those that weren't here, all you'd have to do is read 2 Kings 21 to 24, which is what we covered, to basically set the background for this prophet, because we're going to see in these first verses of Habakkuk that he's crying out to God, God, why are you letting me see all the violence of the land in Judah? He's living in Judah, the nation of Judah, very shortly before God brings Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon the first time in 605 BC to breach the walls enough to come in and take away a bunch of royalty and take them captive to Babylon. First time he did that was 605. Then a few years later, he took another batch to discipline the king that he had left there to pay tribute. And then in 586 BC, Babylon comes and completely destroys Jerusalem. And so this is, roughly 2,600 years ago that we're reading, and we're going to see that it applies to today, perfectly applies to today. He was seeing this wickedness, and God, why are you letting me see it? And God says, no, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it by bringing Babylon to destroy Judah. Don't do that. We're your promise people. They'll kill everybody. And then God says, no, I'm going to deal with Babylon too. And so then Habakkuk ends the book with, wow, even if there's no Safeways or QFCs, the shelves are cleared, I don't have any food, I don't have any water, I'm going to praise God. In other words, judgment was coming. His attitude for judgment coming was, that's okay, I'll just praise God. I'll just trust in him. And so we looked at the condition of the nation of Israel who had departed from, they were supposed to be the witness people, but Satan deceived their leaders and the people to go after idols, to go after immorality, to kill their children, to sacrifice their children to the Baals, the idols of the day, shedding innocent blood. And God said, you guys have gotten so bad, you're worse than the Canaanites who were here in the land before you. And so judgment's coming. And that's what happened. And so that warning was 40 years before Habakkuk. And God didn't do the judgment right away. He waited 40 years because there was Josiah, a king who wanted to bring revival to the nation. But the nation wasn't really interested in long-term revival. He kind of forced the revival on the people. But as soon as he was gone, his son took over back to wickedness. So God warns 40 years earlier, I'm going to destroy Judah. There's a reprieve, there's some grace and mercy, but then finally it's got to be dealt with. And that finally it's got to be dealt with is Habakkuk. He's the prophet that he sees and is told by God now is the judgment is coming. So the burden, Habakkuk 1:1, the burden which really means the prophecy, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. And what he's really saying, and we saw this from our background, open shedding of innocent blood, open murders, things that are happening, just like in Manasseh's day. And is that something that we could say today? I mean, could you watch the news on almost any day and say, God, how long? I cry out to you and say, when are you going to fix our country? When is it going to get back to normal? You know, we have the T-shirt. Debbie has a T-shirt. Normal's not coming back. Jesus is. Because what would it take for normal to come back? National revival, turning to God, turning away from sin. Is that going to happen? No, we've emphasized that so often. So for today, I just went to headlines of today in Fox News Internet, Fox Internet, not watching TV, Fox. I don't have cable or internet. I don't have cable or satellite Fox News Network, but you can go to Fox News and get the headlines. Here's just some of the headlines. Major store chains robbed of everything in this store in Philadelphia today. This was last week, actually. I alluded to it last week. Moms just came in, completely cleaned out the store. And this is what it says, along with, that was a headline. Then this is whatdoesitmean.com last week. Along with the political debate of those seeking to rule America, this report continues the world's attention was also focused on the horrifying looting spree that rocked Philadelphia, reminiscent of when Visigoth barbarian hordes racked Rome during the final days of the Roman Empire, a sacking of an American city followed by grim articles appearing like, okay, so the city got ransacked by massive mobs. And then here's the other headlines that are all over the country. The retail theft rampage gets worse, Rite Aid to close hundreds of stores in bankruptcy. CVS Pharmacy to close 900 stores by the end of 2024, citing shoplifting as major problem. And Target to close 9 stores in Democrat-run cities due to the rampant theft and violence. Grim articles joined by the news. According to a survey released on Tuesday by the National Retail Federation, retail crime, violence, and theft caused, guess how many billion dollars? 10 billion? 20? 50? 100? 112 billion dollars in losses for retailers when? Last year. That's more than what we've given Ukraine. And here's the reality. This is all deliberate. This is a deliberate plan by the World Economic Forum, the globalist elite, to destroy this country, to destroy all finances. You can't steal $112 billion of the retail industry through theft and allow any of these chain stores, which we depend upon to go and buy whatever, for them to survive. It just can't happen. A collapse is guaranteed with this kind of theft and lawlessness. Retailers are seeing unprecedented levels of theft coupled with rampant crime in their stores, and the situation is only becoming more dire. David Johnson of NRF, Vice President for Assessment Protection and Retail Operations, said in a statement. Corporate bankruptcies in the United States could reach the highest level since 2010 due to the sharp rise in borrowing costs, economic uncertainty, and not knowing, can you imagine being a store owner and all it would take would be one mob of kids getting out of school and just completely clean out your shelves because there's nothing anybody's going to do about it. The police can't come. They can't deal with the crowd unless they shot everybody that was doing it. And then all of a sudden you just have, I just lost all my inventory. And it's not like I had a big profit margin to go fill the store back up. And why would I fill the store back up knowing they could come back next week and do the same thing? So we are truly looking at in a country where we won't be able to have stores to go to. And what will we have left? What will be left when you don't have a store to go to? Bingo. And what is Amazon? Amazon is a globalist corporation. So they suck up. This is getting everything into a corporate world of globalists. And then let's say you want to buy something in Amazon, but you're not a good citizen. Are you able to have access to Amazon? See, if there's brick and mortar going around, you can go into the brick and mortar store and you can give them money and you can get what you want. Not if all those get destroyed and then you have all internet, electronic, digital buying and selling, and then they can control everybody that's in the country. Here's today's headlines out of Fox. Poet killed in post-wedding stroll with girlfriend in a crazed knife attack. This is today. Philly cheesesteak landmark takes drastic measures to protect shop from crime. West Philadelphia restaurant hires a guy with an AR sitting out front to be able to control whether or not somebody's going to come because the police can't do anything. Florida hit-and-run suspect floors it as victim clings to the hood for 2 miles. This lady just creamed this pedestrian, puts him up on the windshield, and then he's holding on for dear life while she's running from the police for 2 miles. Multiple people in Massachusetts City shot after altercation, police investigating. And people on buses and stuff, bullets were flying. And then here's what I was talking about. 45 or more kids in D.C. routinely steal from CVS, now shutting stores down everywhere from the earlier, then stomp on food and beverages as shelves remain empty. A big group of kids, like 45 or more, walk in before school, after school, and late at night to steal chips and drinks. So that what they do is, you can deal with one shoplifter that comes in, but these kids, they'll use their apps, and just go, okay, we're going to get this store tonight. They just walk in. The owner can do nothing when there's 45 kids that are there. They clean the whole place out. They'll even stomp on the cans that they're stealing, destroy what they're not stealing, and they hit it over and over and over again. On the way to school, on the way out of school. Dem led cities under scrutiny after shocking random attacks. It is in city after city. 32-year-old Ryan Carson stabbed to death in front of his girlfriend while waiting for a New York City bus stop. And that's one I actually watched the video. Very disheartening. And he's just there with his girlfriend waiting for a bus to come to the stop. And he sees a guy just vandalizing and just smashing up against this car's wheels and stuff. And you don't hear anything. It's just a street camera. And he goes over like, man, what are you doing? You know, I mean, yes, I didn't hear it, but it seemed like that was the altercation. The guy just comes after him and stabs him to death. And then the girlfriend is sitting there just, what did you do? And he goes up and just spits at her in the face. He's you can tell he's demoniac. He's possessed. He is completely out of his mind. And so we have demon possession going on, rampant in the cities, murderous chaos happening. Go back to Habakkuk 1:1. That's just the headlines of today. And just some of them, actually. I left out a bunch more because I didn't want to bore you or frustrate you. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? It's going to get much worse here, isn't it? See, is this going to get better? No, because it's deliberate, for one thing. What it would take to stop it is something that the country is no longer capable of doing. And what's going to happen when the banking system does collapse? What's going to happen when all these stores do go bankrupt? What happens when people can't get food? What's going to happen then? It's going to be absolutely unprecedented chaos and civil chaos in this country. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? Because you turn on Fox News, you crazy person. That's what God could say. You know, he had to see it right firsthand, and we do have to be careful. I don't even like to listen to it. I don't even like to watch it. I'm doing it here. Most of these things, I see the headlines and I go, yep, I'm not even going to read it because it can be overwhelming, depressing. And that's what Habakkuk is saying. This is depressing, God. And cause me to see trouble, for plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Again, 2,600 years ago. Can we say this applies to today? I actually went back to the last time I taught this in 2009, and I looked at what I wrote here. This is what I wrote in 2009. Habakkuk was living in a time of complete anarchy. Men ruled by violence, no police to protect, courts were corrupted with bribes. And I didn't say in 2009, just like America. You know what I'm saying in 2013, 14 years later? Just like America. I mean, we've defunded the police on purpose by the globalists to create this chaos. Chaos brings change. Change is to collapse what is, to give, you know, build back better. Collapse everything, build back better in a globalist government that's coming. So God answers Habakkuk now in verse 5 on, you know, how he's going to stop the Jewish corruption. That Habakkuk's saying, I see Jewish corruption. I see Jews are supposed to live by your law and they're killing each other. There's no justice and your law is set up for justice and righteousness and everything else. And God says in verse 5, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. I'm going to bring Babylon, pagan, idolatrous Babylon, to come and judge my chosen people, Judah, because they have become pagan. And they're my witness people. And they're going to be judged. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 16. Does this apply to us? And this is so relieving to me. People are freaked out about, the politics, how's this going to turn around? We need Trump back in. Trump's going to be the new House Speaker, and that's going to turn it all around. You know, they're talking about that, actually. We're going to turn all this. No, give it up. I'm telling you, based on, really, it's a little bit my discernment, because it's not as clear as I'm going to make it. So consider the source of it. It's not true, but there's no turning this around, because God is doing the same thing now to the world. We've got Babylon. He's telling us, I'm bringing Babylon. I'm bringing global government. I'm going to bring a global government of the Antichrist, because this entire world has corrupted itself. The last, the church is apostatizing. It is no longer even a semblance of what it used to be when it used to preach the gospel all around the world. It used to send missionaries all over the world. All that is, the apostasy is swept into the church. The whole world is killing each other. The whole world is getting ready for disaster. And he's going to bring the kingdom of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 7, he's not bringing it, he's allowing it, because the world is corrupt, just like Judah. He allowed Babylon to come after Judah because Judah had corrupted itself. Daniel chapter 7, verse 16, Daniel has a vision of the four attempts at world government. And then Daniel says, that fourth one, which we know is still future to us, I want to know more about that fourth one. And so in Daniel 7, 16, I, Daniel, came near to one of those who stood by, one of the angelic messengers, and asked him for the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four attempts at world government, all of them have been fulfilled except for the fourth one for us. The fourth is future to us, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So before he gets into the details of how bad it's going to be for this fourth one, he says, there's going to be four attempts at global government that God's going to deal with. And don't worry, at the end, the saints win. So we have to keep this in mind. Global government's coming. No matter what happens to us in how long we're here for the lead up to that before Jesus takes us out of here, no matter what happens, what do we got to remember? We're with Jesus at the end. We got to keep this in mind, because that's what the angelic messenger was saying to Daniel. Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful. Now remember this. This is not Babylon was the first beast. Babylon was the first one, then it was the Medo-Persians, then it was the Greeks, then it was the Romans, and the Romans continue to this day. The leftover of the Roman Empire is still in the West today. It's going to be the global government that really Rome was trying to do. And so in other words, when we're reading in Habakkuk, when Habakkuk goes, Babylon, they're terrible, they're ruthless, and they are. What God is telling Daniel, that fourth one is worse than anything the world has ever seen. What's coming is worse than anything the world has ever seen. Exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces, trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, 10 nation global empire in the end days, which, once again, the globalists have already made a map of how they envision the world after they get rid of all nation states, and it is a 10-nation global empire. 10 nations, the North American Union, South American Union, African Union, European Union, Southeast Asia Union, on and on until you have 10. They plan 10. And the other horn which came up, which is the Antichrist, before which three fell, so three of these leaders of these 10 regions, they fall under the Antichrist come into power, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. So when the 10-nation global empire forms with the leaders of each one of the 10, though none of those guys are the Antichrist. Then there's going to be somebody that comes up and takes out three of them in some kind of conflict, war, whatever. takes over there, becomes the head, replaces the three. That guy is the Antichrist that does that in the future. And he has pompous words, and he hates God, and it goes on to say in verse 21, I was watching, and that same horn was making war against the saints. What does the book of Revelation say? The Antichrist, at 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation period, he goes on a rampage to kill all people that profess Jesus. What does it say in Daniel hundreds of years earlier? Hundreds of years before Revelation was written by John. He says that he's going to be given power over the tribulation saints, the people that are left behind after the rapture, that are becoming believers during the tribulation period. They die. The Antichrist is given power over them. They die physically. They have eternal life because they have faith in Jesus. Making war against the saints and prevailing against them, he prevails against them. That's why in Revelation it says, wow, Lord, you know, how long until you're going to deal with this Antichrist slaughtering everybody? And what John the Apostle is told in the vision, he says, we have to wait a while until they all die. They're going to be demonstrating their faith by death during the tribulation period. Prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came. Who's that? Jesus. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So, second coming of Jesus, and he sets up his kingdom. And that's when the Antichrist gets dealt with. Thus he said, the fourth beast, verse 23, shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour what? The whole earth. The first three were not the whole earth. The last one is the whole earth. Today, is the world globalized? In travel, you can go anywhere in the world in just a few hours. And so we're all globalized. And everything has been talked about. Global trade, global communications, global governance, global problems that need to be solved by the global United Nations, by the Global World Economic Forum, by the Global World Health Organization. All this is global. They're globalizing. And the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after him, be different than the first ones, and subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. What's our calendar based on today? Jesus. Well, so here, the Antichrist, possessed by Satan, do you think Satan's going to want the calendar to still say A.D. and B, B.C. and A.D.? Absolutely not. He's going to change the time. It's going to probably go, okay, we're starting zero, because now I'm God and I'm here, and so the calendars start from me. I just arrived. He's going to do something like that, according to the scriptures. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for time, times, half time, last 3.5 years. Goes along with Revelation. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion. The angelic hosts and God are going to take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. The Antichrist is going to be the end. The global government is going to be destroyed by the second coming of Jesus. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Back to Habakkuk 1:6. We are literally at the very foothills of the fulfillment of those verses by Daniel. And it's being set up before our eyes. We used to be conspiracy theorists to think that there's a global government, that there's people that meet to plot global government. They now openly talk about it. They don't even hide it anymore. And the Bible said it was going to happen, and it's getting ready to happen. And then you'll see how, you know, when Babylon is destroyed, read Revelation 16 to 18, and you see mystery, and the Revelation calls it Mystery Babylon. Again, I want to make the connection that Habakkuk sees Babylon. You're bringing Babylon to judge our world. And that's going to be terrible. And we see God telling us through the prophet Daniel, Babylon's coming. The global government is coming. Why? To judge the world. Why? Because we slaughter our children, we commit immorality, we worship idols, we worship Satan. You know, not we, but the world is moving towards the worship of Satan. And they're gonna be deceived by their enemy. The enemy of their soul, Satan, is deceiving them. Verse 6, Habakkuk 1:6, for indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, Babylonians, global government for us. A bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. And the globalists have already told us, they tell us out in the open, the citizens of the world will soon own nothing and be happy. Why? Because they're going to take possession of everything. And even with the Babylonians that came into Judah, they took everything the Jews had that they didn't burn. They are terrible, dreadful. Their judgment and their indignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are also swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers, you know, military charger, you know, charge, charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. And so what Habakkuk is saying, God, these people are ruthless. They just come in, they just conquer, they destroy, they take whatever was not theirs, and their military is unstoppable. Let's turn to Revelation 13:2. Many people are recognizing, you know, some people are delusional enough to think, you know, hey, let's set up our militia and let's get ready to take these guys on. And then there's other people that sit there, really? You know, hellfire missiles, attack helicopters, laser-based weapons in space, whatever you, you're bringing a stone to a gunfight. And there's no stopping it. We are living in the same way as Habakkuk was. Those guys invented military technology that wherever they want to go and wherever they want to conquer, they win. And you're sending them against us, we're going down. And they just slaughter everybody. Revelation 13:2, same thing about the coming Antichrist. Now the beast, the Antichrist, which I saw was like a leopard. He's able to be like a leopard, is symbolic of the Grecian Empire that rapidly conquered, you know, Alexander the Great rapidly conquered massive real estate. His feet were like the feet of the bear, and the bear was the Medo-Persians, and his mouth was like that of the lion, like Babylon, symbolic in earlier Daniel. If you read Daniel, those are what it's talking about. The dragon, who's the dragon? Satan. Satan gave the Antichrist his power, gave him, the Antichrist, his power, his throne, and great authority. The coming Antichrist has Satan. He's possessed by Satan. And Satan is very capable of doing miraculous signs and wonders in killing and destroying. And it goes on to say, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. You can listen to our Revelation study to get in details about this. So the whole world marveled and followed the Antichrist. Now, why is the whole world, except for those that are saints, tribulation saints, why are they going to follow the Antichrist? Because you die if you don't. So in other words, Satan enslaves everybody, according to the book of Hebrews, Satan enslaves everybody by the fear of death. And when the Antichrist says, you worship me or you die. You take my name in your right hand or your forehead and you die. And the devil gives him his power to deceive the world, and he's going to lead people into Satan worship and in hatred against the true God. And so people to save their temporary skins are going to worship the Antichrist. They're going to worship the devil who gave him his power. And the whole world is going to be doing that except for the few people that are going to be tribulation saints that say, nope, you can kill me if you want to, but I'm not going to worship the devil. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So during the tribulation period, people are going to go, no, I'm not going to do what the Antichrist says. And people, the friends are going to say, oh, you can't survive. He can track you, your phone, your digital currencies, your everything else. I mean, you cannot fight this beast system. You will die. And people are going to go, I'd rather die at the hands of the Antichrist and have him chop my head off than to die eternally because I rejected the God of the Bible. And those people that do that, they die. According to Daniel, according to Revelation, everybody that worships Jesus instead of the Antichrist, they will be killed. There's nobody to rapture at the end of the tribulation. And who's able to make war with them? Exactly what Habakkuk was saying. God, the Babylonians have perfected warfare. Who can make war against them? Same thing's going to happen future to us. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, he is given complete authority and power by Satan himself to destroy the earth, working on his way to destroy the earth. Back to Habakkuk 1:8. Their horses also are swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves. Aren't you glad you haven't ever had to meet a wolf? And especially at night. Their chargers charge ahead and their cavalry comes from afar off. They fly as the eagle to the hastens to eat the dead bodies. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings. The princesses are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. They perfected besieging cities. They perfected warfare to take out. Nobody stands against them. One more time, we'll go to a parallel passage, 2 Kings 25:5. Just to see how, I want you to see how ruthless they are, because when Babylon conquered Jerusalem in 586 BC, King Zedekiah, he had a secret little passage to get out of the city walls and to work his way. He was going to go run off to Jordan. But he gets caught in Jericho before crossing over the Jordan River by King Nebuchadnezzar's troops. And so 2 Kings 25:5, King Nebuchadnezzar catches him. His army does. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him in bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. So they caught him. You know, see, the king is running away with his royal sons, waiting for a day that his sons can reestablish royalty when Babylon someday goes away. You know, sneak away, hide away your sons. They catch him and his sons. And imagine what it would be like as a father. You're a king, and you've had Jeremiah come to you and tell you, you surrender, Zedekiah, you surrender to Babylon, and your life will be spared, your family's life will be spared, this city will be spared. And you know what Zedekiah said? The refugees that have all fled to Babylon that I so harassed and killed their people that were because they were traitors, if I surrender now, then they will abuse me. And Jeremiah says, they won't abuse you. Do what you asked me to tell you what God says. I'm telling you, God says this. He doesn't do it. We have the prophecies telling us what to do about the last days. And a lot of people don't care. You know, the statistic, 2% of churches teach last days now, teach prophecy. That's just mind-boggling to me. And I didn't hear the number. Somebody told me that was a number in some poll recently. And again, I got born again in the 70s when everybody was teaching prophecy. But we weren't ready for these things. There wasn't the global technology of space-based weapons. There wasn't space-based communication system. Did you know that Starlink is now 100% this week, news, Starlink is 100% operational in all the lower 48. Meaning everybody in America can now be linked to satellite communications through Starlink, Elon Musk, Starlink. They've sent up thousands of satellites. And almost all the rest of the world, too. You know what you need to have for global government? You need to have global communications. Why do you need to have global communications? Because you're going to have global currency. You're going to have global central bank digital currency, which is all tied to your phones, to be able to communicate and instantly, through FedNow, be able to transfer money anywhere that you're needing to go. Was that available in 73? Absolutely not. Or 74 when I got saved, 75 when I started coming in contact with Calvary Chapel. So at a time where we weren't really ready for everything the Bible says it's the last days, everybody was teaching it. Now when everything's ready, and everything is in your face getting ready to be converging, we have the churches, 2% of them, only 2%, and the other 98% think we're nuts. Which the Bible prophesies in the last of the last days, apostasy sweeps through the church. In the last of the last days, people will say, the Lord delays his coming. And then they go off and they just play in the world. And so, and that's what they're saying. Hey, you guys used to say that in the 70s. Didn't come true, so who cares? They put it, so he sees his sons killed in front of his eyes. And then the ruthlessness of Nebuchadnezzar is then he puts the king's eyes out. So the very last thing he saw and he has to remember the rest of his life is his kids getting run through. Because he rebelled against the prophet. Because he rebelled against God. Because he led the nation in apostasy away from God. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, his general, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord. He burned the temple and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were in with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city, and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. And then we'll close by looking back at 1:9. So they took all the captives to Babylon. And what did he say in 1:9? They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like the sand. God, the Babylonians, they completely wipe out these nations they conquer, and then they take their, our people will be taken captive. They scoff at kings. America during the tribulation period will be unknown. I mean, it'll be gone. America's going to be gone, what we know America to be. It's already gone, really. Why? Because we've exchanged the knowledge of God for the lies of the devil and his angels. We've turned away our faces from the God of the Bible. Now, my brother-in-law would say, Kevin, will you stop talking? We serve Jesus, right? But when I say that, I'm saying, as a nation, can we look out there and say that our country is wanting to have more of Jesus, more of the true God, more of the Bible, or to turn away? We want to love him. We want to serve Jesus. We want to keep our eyes on him. We want to look forward to the kingdom that's coming, which through our Jesus. But we have to wake up and sniff around, sniff the coffee, and realize that we're freaks. We're not the way the country's going. And so we're about to repeat history. We're actually about to enter into biblical prophetic history. Just like Habakkuk was saying, God, you're going to deal with all this sin, but oh, the cure seems like it's going to bring death to the patient. And later on, God's going to say, no, I'm going to keep a remnant, but I'm going to clean up. And for us, we see the remnant. There's going to be tribulation saints, and we get raptured. We're the remnant. We go with him. There's going to be tribulation saints, and the enemy is defeated. He's destroyed at the second coming of Jesus, just before he destroys the rest of the world, just before Antichrist destroys the rest of the world. And we'll pick it up at verse 11 next week. Man, what would we do if we didn't have hope? And imagine the people that are holding on to their own imagination hope, not knowing by rejecting, oh, that Bible, who cares? How can you know prophecy? How can you understand things? Is this kind of crystal clear? Is the Bible kind of crystal clear about the future? Yet they don't want to study it. And so they have their own imaginations of what they're going to bring about in the future. And it's so comforting to know that this is the true God. He told us the way it would be in the last days. We see it as the way it is in the last days. And we can rejoice in the fact that we, if we know that's true, we all know Jesus' tomb is empty. We know he ascended into heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting to come back and grab his church. And those days could be very soon. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Habakkuk. God, we do grieve over the wickedness, and even just thinking today about the family of the guy who was just stabbed for trying to challenge a guy being a demonic, demoniac, Lord, just messing with people, and just the way so many hearts in America are being ripped out by watching the violence just escalate and the lack of justice and the fighting and the wars and rumors of wars and kingdom against kingdom and ethnos against ethnos. And Lord, it's troubling to us too, because we know this isn't how you created humans to be. But you promised us a place where it's going to be exactly like you created humans to be, when they're in harmony with their Creator, and their Creator rules over the world. And we, by our own free will, have decided we want you to rule, God, and we yearn for the day you take us to be in your kingdom forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God in this song.
We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of your mercy and love are at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy. The greatness of your mercy and love are at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. We cry, worthy, worthy, worthy. We cry, worthy, worthy, worthy. We cry, worthy, worthy, worthy. Is the Lamb.
He's worthy, and he's coming. And the angels rejoice in heaven by saying, you know, read Revelation 5, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to take the scroll, to take back earth. It's going to happen. Jesus wins in the end. And when we go out there and we see this stuff, every time we see it, don't get discouraged. Just say, it's like the days of Habakkuk. Jesus is allowing his prophetic word to come true, and I have a hope that cannot be taken away by Fox News or anybody else. And we have a hope, and it's time for us to just tell people that they can have hope too. We're living hope. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.